Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who's on the phone, Nance? All right, we'll welcome in one of my oldest and dearest friends, Jim Nance, who joins us. Jim, welcome. How are you? What game you have this week?
I have Kansas City and New England.
Oh, excuse me. Should be
really a good
yes,
one.
Yes, a very good one. I'm looking forward to that one. It's a very good one. The Pats are they're a little shaky right now. They really are. They got to get that offense going a little bit.
And I've been waiting for this game since the schedule came out, and of course the AFC Championship game was such an epic up and down the field overtime game that I remember walking out of Arrowhead and knowing that, of course, yes, they would be playing at some point in the season. This was going to be the game that we wanted to protect the
absolutely
most.
Absolutely. And, I agree. I think Kansas City, it's a game that if they – the last week or two, it looks like the Kansas City guys are finally catching on to the Spags defense. If that's true, then they're ready to make their move. And if they make their move tomorrow, they throw their hat in the ring as a team, along with Baltimore and New England, as the third team that can win it all out of the AFC.
Well, I've been with Kansas City a lot recently, including this past Sunday against Oakland. And you can definitely see that defense is starting to figure out
yep
what Spags is
and it takes
to
time. It takes time. It took the Giants a long time.
And they weren't healthy. And I didn't. Frank Clark really wasn't a factor at the first of the year. Missed some games. So they definitely seem to me to be peaking right now. And we know that it's been a rough stretch here for the Patriots of late.
Well,
so,
nobody knows the Patriots and Tom Brady better than you do, or more closely knows them. So are they very concerned about where they are, or are they feeling like they can figure out their problems?
Well, you know, they always at this time of year kind of figure it out, and what that's going to be, I don't know. But you never say that. You know, I've read all the articles nationally this week. I've seen people talking about it. Have been basically been writing the Patriots obituary all week long. So we'll see. You know, they've already lost to Baltimore and Houston. If they lost in this game to Kansas City, that means they would have lost to the other three division leaders. The teams are going to win their divisions. But hey, they've been open about it. I mean, Tom hasn't pulled any punches. He's been frustrated with the offense's lack of execution yep and production all season long. And, you know, the Gronkowski void is huge. Yep. And the running game hasn't been going. They average like they're 31st in the league on average yards per attempt. The wide receivers are just not running the routes that Tom's used to. The crisp, fast, speedy cuts and everything to be open, create separation. You know, that extra little half a second hasn't been there because the offensive line has been battered. They got Isaiah Wynn back a couple of games ago, but he's not, to me, all the way back yet. So we'll see. You know, it's going to be a great game, and maybe it's one we'll see again just a month later again.
Hey, if you check Edelman and White, they don't have anywhere to go with the ball, and you have to make sure you do both. You can't check one of them. You got to check both of them out of the backfield. I mean, him out of the backfield and Edelman, wherever they line him up. You got to take White as a receiver, too. If you get those two, they have nowhere to go. They can't get any separation anywhere else. And the offensive line's hurting him, and Tom's had to throw the ball away a lot. He's had to throw it away basically about a third of the time. He's had to throw the ball away to keep from getting sacked, and that's why his numbers are down. I don't think his game's down at all. I really don't think it is. I think it's just that he has had to throw the ball away so many times this year, he just hasn't had anybody open downfield.
Well, I tell you that Tony Romo completely concurs with what you're saying. This is not a reflection on a decline in Tom's ability.
I think he can still throw any pass out there. I don't think
absolutely
there's any problem with him. I don't think there's any. I just can't get the guys open. And, you know, once you take Edelman away, and again, White out of the backfield, then they're hurting. How is Romo as, Nance and Romo, which has become a delightful listen? I mean, really, you've done a great job teaming with Romo and helped make Romo a very big star very quickly. He's got an amazing following, and he does it. Really, he's an instinctive guy. He really is. He's a guy. Talk about someone who was natural for the job. Boy, Romo was really natural for the job. You know that?
Of course, there were a lot of people when he was brought on board and immediately put in this position, there were a lot of naysayers out there, a lot of the, you know, experts who weigh in on your show, weigh in on our shows, and they all second-guessed and thought that, CBS had lost its mind. And
yeah,
I don't think many of them own up to that anymore.
No,
but, I mean, he was from the very first game, he was a sensation, and he's quick. He sees everything. His mind is amazing. And he's a super guy to be hanging out with. We have so much fun just going through the process.
Since Madden has anybody had the impact he's had. And a big part of it was Summerall always set Madden up very well, and you set Romo up the same way. So you got to have the right partner, and it works very well. And you give him a lot of room to roam out there, and he does a heck of a job with it because he's very instinctive, and he obviously brings his knowledge of modern football and his ability to have just come from the position, but he is, you know, he's very good at it. He's just natural. And he's the first guy who has really been different in a very long time since Madden. He's the first guy I really feel, and you know I watch everybody, said he's the first guy that has really made a difference where he's very different, and he's changing people. They're all trying to copy him. Problem is, there's only one Romo out there.
The problem is no one sees the field like he does.
No, they don't. You know, they don't.
He instantly recognizes formations and knows where the ball needs to go. So when he has a game that involves, let's say, Tom Brady, he is going to look like he's the great soothsayer of all time because Brady sees what Romo is seeing.
Yep.
You know, Tom, if he's given the time and he's got the players that can run the routes, you know, Tom also is after 20 years, that's why he's had the success he's had. My point is that when Tony's in a game, sometimes with a younger quarterback who is confused and doesn't recognize things,
right?
And Tony isn't the guy that's wrong; it's the guy on the field,
right? He's going the wrong place. He's going the wrong place with the ball, no question. And it's interesting, you know. Last week, Mahomes looked like himself for the first time. He looked like his legs were back, so I think that's something that's a positive too. Now, not that they want him to run a lot, but that he can run if he needs to. And I saw him last week make one run to the corner of the end zone where I thought he was finally the same guy as he was last year, where he had looked very gimpy. Now, he didn't look very good running until last week. I thought he looked good.
You're talking about the 15-yard run to the end zone for the touchdown.
Yep.
And we thought the same thing. That was the first time we said, hey, dislocated kneecap, the ankle that he rolled earlier in the year, I think that's all gone away. You know, come off a bye before that game against the Raiders last week, and they definitely look, healthy with Mahomes and some other guys. They're a little bit thin at running back going into this game. One last footnote on Romo, though. That game we had at Arrowhead,
yep.
I think there have been so many great performances by Tony where he's been spot on, but he was never better than he was in that game in overtime. If you remember, as the Patriots are coming down the field, I mean, he called basically every single play, including a fly pattern by Gronkowski, Edelman two or three times on some key third down situations. He recognized that the line of scrimmage, that's where the ball had to go, and that they should be able to, you know, complete the pass for the first down. And just like he was just absolutely in his zone. It was amazing to be next to that and watching it happen play after play.
Have you had Baltimore recently or no?
We haven't had Baltimore the entire season.
Is that true? Not one time?
Yeah. Not once.
Wow.
Just the way it's worked out. It's a strange year in the AFC. You know, we have a lot of teams at the bottom that we were expecting to be pretty good. Now, we may have them in a couple of weeks.
Right.
Week 16 hasn't been assigned yet, but Baltimore at Cleveland's a real possibility, and maybe Pittsburgh at Baltimore the week behind that is too. But we saw them last year a ton, maybe four or five times, and now here they are, the one seed at the moment in the AFC. We haven't seen them once.
You're right. It has been a different year, and there's no question. And, you know, Baltimore has now taken off to where they're obviously the other team. And let's be honest, Pittsburgh, you know, Tomlin, I think this might be the best job Tomlin's done in a very long time. I mean, he's had to make the moves. He's had to make a quarterback. He's had a bunch of injuries. He's got a young defense, and the team's playing well. It really is.
He's going to get a lot of Coach of the Year votes. There's no question. When you talk about losing Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Belgors wasn't around last year, but you lose that, and you lose Roethlisberger, and now you got a third-team quarterback. There's just a lot. There's a whole list of things that would tell you that, and they started just a dreadful start to the season. And how he was able to patch this together and put them now in the mix for a playoff berth, I think it's his finest effort, no question.
And, you know, folks, I've told this story a couple of times, and I told it last year when Jim was nice enough to on what was the worst car ride in history. When he came in last year, nice, and we picked him up, and it took us 4.5 hours to get to the Hall of Fame induction dinner when in that November 15th night where we went nowhere for like 3.5 hours in the car. Jim, who was nice enough to induct me into the Radio Hall of Fame last year, was the reason why I got this gig here on FAN, because Jim and I worked together for years. I was part of his audition tape at CBS, and I also worked with him when he came and worked there the first time for college football, and he was the natural in those days. He and I worked together for years there on college football and basketball and everything else. And I told him about FAN way after we had been together about 3 years, and he had done a lot of radio on his way up, and I couldn't get an audition or get a interview here at FAN after like 20 tries. And Jim had worked with a guy who was one of the producers here at the time named Luke Griffin. And Jim had worked with him during his way up when he was at the University of Houston, and knew Luke and called him. And Luke said, well, if Jim says so, then I got to give you a chance. And then gave me a weekend show, which led to me spending all these years here. So the reason I got in the door was none other than after I had been rejected about 15 times was Jim Nance, who made one phone call and got me in the door at WFAN. So that is a true story.
It's hard to believe that that is, what, 30, almost 33 years ago.
It 32 is.
32 and a half years ago, Michael.
It is.
But I just wanted to call.
Yes,
I know you weren't looking for anybody to call in today.
But no, wasn't. No.
I've been feeling a whole lot of melancholy about it, and I think the previous call, 15, 20 minutes ago, said it exactly the way I was feeling it. There's something about it that's very sad, because you've been such a part of so many people's lives. I'm so fortunate and cherish the friendship I've had with you since we both were just really young kids. But it's immeasurable how many people feel like they know you. They've been spending 5 days a week with you for the better part of their lives, and you've been a friend to them. And it's just an amazingly powerful resource, radio. I heard you talking about how personal it is, and I've just enjoyed hearing it this afternoon. Like I say, just feeling a whole lot of nostalgia. Your take on how you and Dog came together as individualists and both always wanted to be able to prove you could do it on your own. And I mean, that was just an amazing, amazing partnership you guys had, and congrats to you both. But just as someone that can honestly say from the bottom of my heart, I would never have the career I have today if it wasn't for the fact that you were there from day one when I walked into that door, frightened as a kid at 26, being handed a lot of responsibility. And people don't know, you were assigned to me as my behind-the-scenes editorial consultant.
Yep.
And you held my hand, figuratively. And every single show, for years, you prepared me. We loved going through all the preparation, the dinners, the meetings, actual on-air performances. You'd stand just off the side of the camera. I could see you like an orchestra leader leading me through, you know, some of the more intense moments, whether it was in the studio for the NCAA tournament or college football or whatever it might have been. You were just an incredible part of my life and will continue to be. And it's almost impossible for me to quantify how much your friendship means to me. Courtney and the kids are in the car. They all send
great.
Their love.
Hello, Courtney.
And
hello,
I am just,
kids.
They're looking forward to seeing you. Hopefully
good.
Soon.
Very but, soon.
But,
that's it.
But I just had the call today because you know, obviously I was hanging on your every word like you did for me when Luke Griff gave you that chance. And you were on the fan for the first time, I was feeling the anxiousness that I knew that you had to feel. And the roles were reversed. I was hanging on your every word.
Well,
just
that's
hoping they would come out cleanly and, you know, with authority and the potential that, you know, the guy that I knew behind the scenes who could tell a story and knew sports better than anybody and just had a magnetism about him. I just couldn't wait to see that come out. So I was there for that first hour, and I wanted to be here for the last hour. And that's all I can tell you. I don't have a more loyal or dear friend in the world. And congratulations.
Because, well,
Michael, you are, there are not many people can say this. You are the best there's ever been at this. And congratulations.
Thanks, Jim. That's very nice. Nice to see the call. Tell Courtney I said hello. We'll see you guys soon. Thank you very much. Thank you. Jim Nance, thank you. I can't top that. But you know what? He overdoes my role with him because it's true. I work with Musburger, who is utterly brilliant in the studio. I mean, as good as anybody has ever been. There's a couple of guys who would just stand out. You know, Brian Gumbel's flawless. Costa's very good, at it. And he could do both, play-by-play and that. But Musburger was a genius in the studio. Unbelievable. I did the NFL Today with him. He was unbelievable. And about a month in of working with Jim, and I would work with Jim on Saturday and Brent on Sunday, Brent said to me, "Hey, the kid, is he for real?" I said, "He's for real. He's going to be around a long time. He's for real." And I knew right away that he was going to be an enormous star. I mean, and whether I was there or not, he was. I helped him. There's no question. And he and I have been like brothers. And he's family to me. He's not even a friend. He's family. So and has been since the mid '80s. I mean, he and I, we're the type of friends that we might not talk for a month, but if he needs me, I'm there. If I need him, he's there. He's always there. We've been like that for 35 years. So he is like family to me, and his family is like part of my family. But I knew right away that he was going to be an enormous star. And he is one of the, you know, here he is all these years later. He is CBS Sports. And he is one of the, you know, greatest sportscasters of all time. And he, without any question, he's had an incredible career. And will continue to have it. He's got a lot of years left, too. But there was no question, you know. He would have made it with anybody. But, you know, I was lucky enough to be there from the beginning when he came in. And quite ironically, it was that call, Luke Griffin, because I tried really hard. I came in for an interview, and they said, "You're overqualified. You know, hey, you work with Brent Musburger. You're on the NFL Today. You work CBS Sports. You work with Jim Nance. You work with, you know, what are you doing here to be a producer?" I said, "I don't want to be a producer. I want to be on the air." They said, "Oh, no. You're never going to be on the air. So, and you're too qualified to be a producer, so you don't belong here." I said, "Well, I don't want to be behind the scenes. I want to do a show." And they said, "No." I said, "Just give me a chance to do a show." I said, "You won't be disappointed." And they said, "Nope." So I couldn't get in the door. So I tried. And then I told Jim, and he said, "Well, let me make a call." So he made a call. Next thing you know, I got a Saturday morning show. And then the Saturday morning show, they said, "Hey, we like it." And then they gave me a Saturday morning show, and then they let me sit in for Pete, and then the rest is history. So that's, without Nance, I wouldn't be where I am here all these years later. So we've obviously had impact on each other's career. And very nice of him to call. And he's got a beautiful family, which is the most important thing. And obviously he's had, you know, an incredible career. And lucky enough to be as good a friend as you could have in the world. He really is. Back after this.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.